عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
صوتك غير واضح شيخ، ما نسمعه جيدا.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته، حياك الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته، نعم نسمع جيدا الآن إن شاء الله تعالى. ونحن الآن في المسجد واتصلنا عليك لأننا نريد منك محاضرة طيبة، ونسأل الله أن يوفقك إلى ذلك. فإذا أردت أن تبدأ الآن فنحن مستعد، وإن شاء الله تعالى تلقي المحاضرة جملة جملة حتى وترجم للإخوة إن شاء الله تعالى، وبارك الله فيك.
طيب، نسأل الله أن يوفقنا وإياكم إلى كل خير.
آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم أما بعد،
نعم. Sheikh, he began with Khutbah al-Haja, which all of you know the translation of, the translation instead of this khutbah. So he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he's going to begin his topic, inshallah ta'ala. فَقَبْلَ
الْشَيْخِ. فَإِنَّ مِنْ نِعْمِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ أَنْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِمْ رُسُلًا وَأَنْزَلَ إِلَيْهِمْ كُتُبًا لتقوم الحجة عليهم، فمن اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه، ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها.
نعم. The Sheikh, he began by saying that from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his creation or upon his servants, is that he sent to them rusul, that he sent to them messengers and prophets, and that he also sent down with those prophets books so that the people can be guided. So whoever is guided. Oh, also he mentioned that he sent these books and he sent these prophets so that the hujjah can be established, so that the argument can be established on this earth, so the proofs can be established. And he says that whoever is guided, or whoever seeks the guidance or is guided, then he only is guided for his own self. And whoever goes astray, then his astraying only harms his own self. تفضل.
أعظم نعمة بها الله عز وجل بها عباده هي نعمة الإسلام. هداهم إلى الإسلام بعد أن كانوا يتخبطون في ضلال، خبطون في طرق لا يميزون فيها بين الصحيح وبين الحق وبين الباطل، كما في قوله تعالى: أو من كان ميتا فأحييناه وجعلنا له نورا يمشي به في الناس كمن مثله في الظلمات ليس بخارج منها كذلك زين للكافرين ما كانوا يعملون.
And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he's talking about the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave the people by guiding them to Islam. And he went on mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the people to Islam after they used to be in the fosa. They used to be in something, in ignorance before Islam came to them as the ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the mankind. Everybody was in the fosa and the dhalal, do not know what the right path to follow. And then they didn't know even why to make the difference between the haqq and the batil. They didn't know if this is the haqq or this is the batil. They just do anything following their own desire before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His ni'mah to them. And Allah, as the Shaykh mentioned, the ayah that to show the ni'mah that He sent to the people, that those people who are not on the haqq, they are like the dead people. As Allah said in the Quran, is the one who is, he was dead and we give him life. Like when people was in the Jahiliyyah, in the fosa, they were like dead people. Like people who already died, like animals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them life by saying them Islam, the ni'mah, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, to guide to them into this deen of Islam. So that is like people who are in dhalal, in fosa, like the dead people who don't have life. So when Islam came to them, it's like the life came to them, now they are alive. So Allah said in the Quran, are you going to put together or similar or equal those people who are dead and those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave life? Fadda Shaykh.
وهذه نعمة وثمت نعمة أخرى عظيمة من الله عز وجل بها علينا أن وفقنا لاتباع الكتاب والسنة.
The Shaykh says, after mentioning this ni'mah of Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this deen to us. Also there's another ni'mah, greater ni'mah also, that after being Muslims, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Being Muslim is a ni'mah. But you might be Muslim, but you don't follow the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So another ni'mah also great after being Muslim is to have ability to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, also to follow the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فنعمة السنة وسلوك سبيلها نعمة عظيمة ولذلك قال بعض السلف لا أدري أي النعمتين علي أعظم نعمة أن هداني الله عز وجل من بين هذه الأديان جميعا إلى الإسلام أو نعمة أن هداني من بين هذه الفرق فرق الأهواء والضلال إلى السنة سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
To follow the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, there's no doubt is a ni'mah, is a big ni'mah that people should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. To be able to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is the ni'mah. If we have ability to follow the Sunnah and practice the Sunnah, is the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to you. It says, as the people who came before us from the Salaf al-Salih, they used to say, I don't know which one of these ni'mah is a greater ni'mah to me. As me being Muslim, on after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me from these different religions that people have today, the false religions, which one is the big ni'mah to me, you know, to be able to accept Islam from, you know, from all of these false religions, or to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So some of the Salaf used to mention, make this statement that they don't know which one is the bigger ni'mah to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. To come to Islam after being in fosa and to be able to choose Islam other than Islam, or to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And also to be away from the desire. To be on the Sunnah, you don't follow your own desire, try to obey the shaitan. Which one of the bigger ni'mah that people should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? Above both the ni'mah, but the Shaykh says, the Salaf used to say, we don't know which one is the greater ni'mah. Being Muslims or to be able to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. نعم.
فمنهج السلف هو الواجب على المسلمين سلوكه لأنه المنهج الحق الذي جاءت به الأنبياء وهو منهج الأنبياء والمرسلين ومنهج الأنبياء والمرسلين يقوم على أصول عظيمة أول هذه الأصول هو تجريد وتحقيق التوحيد وثانيها التحذير من الشرك.
It is important to follow the way of Salaf al-Salih. The way of the people who came before us, the Salaf al-Salih, radiallahu anhum, is it wajib that everyone try to follow that way. Why? Because it's the truth. The way of the Salaf al-Salih is the haqq. If you want to be on the haqq, then follow the way of the Salaf al-Salih. Also, that is the way of the messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the prophets, messengers, they were the truth and the haqq. So if you want to be on the haq, follow their way, and they to follow the way of the Salafu Salih, inshallah ta'ala. And he says, this comes under the very important usul. Or, and I don't know how we're going to say usul in English, but usul is like fundamentals of this deen. That which is a tawheed. To follow the haq, they're going to have your tawheed, your aqeedah correct. Correct understanding of the aqeedah, strong aqeedah, and also the aqeedah which is going to make you be away from the shirk. That you cannot commit shirk or claim partner against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the correct minhaj to follow the salaf al-salih that cause you to have correct aqidah, correct tawheed, which is going to make you stay away from shirk. Do not commit shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now.
فَهَلُ الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَعْتَنِي عِنَايَةً عَظِيمًا بِتَحْقِيقِ التَّوْحِيد وَالْحَذَر كُلَّ الْحَذَر مِنَ الشِّرْك. وهذا قد بينه الله عز وجل في كتابه، قال تعالى: ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. وقال أبو الأنبياء إبراهيم خليل الله عليه السلام، قال وهو يسأل ربه وجنبه وذريته الوقوع في الشرك، قال تعالى: وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا البلد آمنا وجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام.
He says it is important for everyone to make sure that you have correct tawheed, correct aqeedah in you, correct belief inshallah ta'ala. This is something very important, very wajib for every Muslim to make sure that you have your studying and you are seeking the night to have correct tawheed inshallah ta'ala, and also to stay away from the shirk. Tawheed is gonna make you know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love him, and then stay away from shirk. As he said, this is the job of the messengers who came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to guide the people. Their job was to teach the people tawheed, to teach the people the correct aqeedah. It says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily we have sent the messengers, and their job is, and we have sent to every nation a messenger. We have sent to every nation a messenger. Their job was to say, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then stay away from al-tawagut. Tawagut, as they say, the shaytan, stay away from al-shirk, al-tawagut. And also, I mentioned another ayah where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where Ibrahim says, oh Allah, make this city amin, safe. And also, you make me away, me and my family away from worshipping the idols, the al-asnam. Ibrahim made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, make this country or this place, this city, amin, safe, and make me far away and my family from worshipping the shaitan, the al-asnam, the idols. So this to show that the messengers who came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their job was to teach the people at tawheed, the correct aqidah, the correct understanding, inshallah ta'ala. So this is wajib on every Muslim to try to do his best to learn his tawheed and to have his aqidah correct, inshallah. Now.
كذلك أيضا فإن هذا ما جاءت به سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. وفي حديث العرباض بن ساري الذي أخرجه أصحاب السنن قال رضي الله عنه: وعظنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة بليغة وجلت منها القلوب ودرفت منها العيون، إلى حينما وصلوا إلى هذا الأثر سألوا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فقالوا: يا رسول الله، كأنها موعظة مودع فأوصنا. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: أوصاهم عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. فهذه وصية باتباع سنته عليه الصلاة والسلام.
He says also the issue of following the sunnah of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. You may see this in the sunnah of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, in the ahadith of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, where he commands the people to follow his sunnah and the sunnah of his companions. He mentioned the hadith well known to the people from those 40 hadith, hadith of Urbad ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu, where he said the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave us a talk, very strong talk, maw'idah, which everybody was like shaking and crying. Everybody was afraid from the maw'idah that the Messenger gave the people that day. And when they saw the maw'idah was very strong and very attractive and make them really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, oh, the Messenger of Allah, this looks like it's the last mawazah. Like you may not be able to talk to you after this mawazah. Maybe give us advice, something you may hold on after you. Maybe, you know, the mawazah was very strong, till the people they thought maybe may die after that. They may not be able to see him or to hear from him after that. And they asked him to give them advice, and he told them, and he advised them to follow his sunnah and the sunnah of the companion. And the Shaykh mentioned, he said, the advice he gave them is to follow the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and also to follow the sunnah of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So from this hadith, the Shaykh mentioned that it's important that people follow the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, also the sunnah of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum.
فبعد أن أوصاهم بالسنة ولزومها حذرهم كل الحذر من البدع والوقوع فيها. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة فحذرهم من البدع.
He says also after
أمره لهم بالسنة. نعم.
After advising them to follow the sunnah of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, he made sure that also he advised them to stay away from bid'ah, which is opposite from the sunnah. As some of the ulama says, the sunnah, he gave them advice to follow the sunnah of the Messenger, and he gave them advice that should stay away from the bid'ah. Do not try to have any innovation. And he says, verily, every innovation is a stray. And every stray is in the hellfire. And this at the end of the hadith, you know, stay away from the bid'ah. Anything that is not from the sunnah of the Messenger, is bid'ah, and bid'ah is astray. And if you are astray, astray is in the hell, and wal'ayyadu billah. So after giving them the advice of to follow the sunnah of the Messenger, and the sunnah of his sahaba's companions, he told them that, stay away from the bid'ah. Do not try to have anything that is not from the sunnah of the Messenger, if you do so, that is to be astray. And someone is astray, he's going to be maybe in the hellfire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تفضل.
ففي اتباع السنة النجاة والبعد عن كل سبيل قد يغوي الإنسان ويقوده إلى الضلال. وهذا يؤكده قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحديث الآخر, تركت فيكم ما إن تمسكتم بهما لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا, كتاب الله وسنتي.
He says to follow the sunnah of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام is a success. If you want to be saved or be a successful person, follow the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. You like to be saved from being astray, follow the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. You want to be away from any trouble, any problem, follow the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. As he said, the Messenger already made clear in the hadith that are left with you two things. If you follow those things, or if you hold fast on those two things, you're going to be okay, inshallah ta'ala. Those is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, and the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Shaykh mentioned that to follow the sunnah is to be safe, inshallah, also to be safe. So if you want to be a successful person, follow the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. You're going to be safe, as you mentioned in the hadith, there's only two things. If you hold fast on those, you're going to be safe, inshallah, is the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam.
فهذا الأمر قد حرص عليه سلف الأمة حرصا شديدا, فتمسكوا بسنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام تمسكا عظيما, وقد تمثل فيما وصل إلينا من أقوالهم رضي الله عنهم. فها هو الإمام مالك رحمه الله يقول, السنة سفينة نوح, من ركبها نجا, من تخلف عنها غرق.
Something that the Salafus Salih knew and understood, and they hold fast on the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. They love the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and they practice the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Those people who came before are Salafus Salih radiallahu anhum. As he says, Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, he mentioned something to show you that the sunnah is very important, that everyone tries to go on the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He said the sunnah is like the ship of Noah. That ship that Noah took the people in, that is like the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Whosoever had a chance to go into that ship, he was saved. And whosoever was behind the ship, then he was destroyed.
Drowned.
And he was drowned in the, you know, in that situation that took place. So the sunnah is like the ship of Nuh alayhi salam. Those who was in that ship, they were saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who was mutakhallifun, they didn't have a chance to go to that ship, they were drawn in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he show you that the sunnah is the way of the, if you want to be saved, inshallah, be successful, then follow the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam.
كانوا لا ينظرون إلى حال الرجل إذا كان عنده بعض الكرامات أو بعض الخوارق لا ينظرون إليها أنها هي الدليل لصلاحه واستقامته، بل ينظرون ويجعلون الدليل على صلاحه واستقامته ولزومه للخير هو مدى اتباعه للسنة.
He says, the sign for the people who came before are the you know, sometimes you might see people who have this issue called karamat or khawarit. These are the things that everybody don't have. I don't know how to put this in English. Karamat is something that, you know, like, you know, you might, some might happen for you, never happen to anybody else. Like, you know, you might do something like miracles, you know. Anybody cannot do that. He says this is not the sign to show that someone is on the sunnah or someone is on the good, is a good person because he has this karamat and khawarit. Those unusual things that happen for him. So the good sign to show that this man is good is to see him is good, doing good all the time. That he's trying to be on the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam by doing which is good, which is khair inshallah ta'ala. For a long time, keep doing which is good, not because he has karamat or khawariq, but someone who is on the good, trying to practice the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam for a long time, this is the sign to show that person inshallah ta'ala is on good.
ولهذا يقول الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله: لو رأيت الرجل يطير في الهواء ويمشي على الماء لا أقبل منه إلا بكتاب وسنة.
نعم. As he mentioned, now he's gonna make clear the meaning of karamat and khawarij. Like Imam al-Shafi'i, he said, if I see someone fly in the air, like, you know, you might see somebody flying, it's something everybody cannot do, or he was on top of the water, ocean. Oh no, he's not drawing, just working like normal, oh no, like he's in the earth. So if I see this person is flying in the air, everybody say, oh, he's flying, or he's working on top of water, I cannot take anything from him. See, I see him is on the sunnah, or follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. So for him to see someone has karamat, and this is karamat, something that everybody cannot do, like flying or working on the top of the water, this is not going to make him take some from him because he has karamat. See, he sees him is on the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, or try to practice the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, then he will take from him.
فعلينا أن نحرص على اتباع الكتاب والسنة ولزوم منهج السلف. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يوفقنا جميعا لما يحبه ويرضاه وأن يميتنا على الإسلام والسنة. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
The Sheikh says now is important that we try to do our best to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام and to pass on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us successful and to make easy for us to do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and he likes. And he says, you know, he makes dua for us, and that is important that we follow the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and to understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to try to practice the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says, وَصَلَّ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.
نعم إذا عندكم أسئلة تفضل.
نعم عندنا أسئلة جزاكم الله خير.
نعم إن شاء الله تعالى. We don't have so far any of the questions. They're not pertaining to the topic. So if any of the brothers have questions pertaining to the topic, please send those up now, or the sisters, inshallah ta'ala. We'll just start with these questions, and if some questions that are pertaining to the topic come, you need some paper, I think? If some questions, brothers have paper and stuff like this, if some questions come pertaining to the topic, then we're going to put those first. This question says, can it be said that every child... Let me get closer to them. This question says, can it be said that every child is born a Muslim?
السائل يسأل فيقول لكن الأسئلة الآن غير متعلقة بالموضوع وربما تأتي أسئلة أخرى إن شاء الله متعلقة بالموضوع. السائل يسأل فيقول هل يجوز لنا أن نقول أن كل مولود يولد على الإسلام أو نسميه مسلما، أي كل مولود حينما يولد يولد على الإسلام، هل يجوز لنا نقول ذلك على الإطلاق؟
وهذا لزوم بالنسبة لهذا السؤال، هذا نجيب عليه بنص الحديث، قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. والفطرة بمعنى أنه يولد على الإسلام، الفطرة هي الإسلام، بعده عن الشرك ولوثة الشرك. نعم.
The Sheikh answered the question. So the hadith is known to the people that every child who is born on the fitrah, and the fitrah is al-Islam. So every baby who is born on al-Islam, that is not committing shirk or anything like that. So he's been Muslim, inshallah, ta'ala. And then, you know, we as the hadith already mentioned, every child who is born is born in al-fitr, and fitr is al-Islam.
Now, the second question is, what is the meaning of the Khalifa in Surah Al-Baqarah concerning Adam?
السائل يسأل فيقول ما مقصود قوله تعالى حينما قال في القرآن إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة ما مقصود قوله خليفة في هذه الآية حفظكم الله
خليفة يعني مستخلف فيها المعنى هنا لأنه مستخلف فيها قائم فيها يقوم على أمر الأرض هذه الأرض التي ينزل أنزله الله إليها يقوم بشأنها.
It is the meaning of this ayah or this particular wording from the ayah Khalifa means someone who's going to be in charge of the earth. He's going to be in control. He's going to be running things on the earth. He's going to be, you know, like in control or, you know, be in charge. Qa'im, we're going to do things in the earth like in control. Khalifa on top of things. This is the meaning of the ayah the Sheikh mentioned.
The next question, inshallah ta'ala, it is, how do you deal with the father of a sister if he doesn't want her to marry you? Because of the minhaj that you follow. But the sister wants to marry you. How do you deal with that? Her father is like into Sufism, but she doesn't agree with what her father is on, and she wants to be Salafi, she wants to practice the way of the Salaf al-Salih.
السائلة تسأل فتقول ماذا يفعل أو ماذا تفعل الأخت التي لها أب وهذا الأب يمنعها من أن يتزوج من الرجل الذي يتمسك بالسنة أو يتبع منها السلف الصالح والأب ليس على السنة أو على منهج السلف الصالح ربما قد يكون صوفي أو غير ذلك فماذا تفعل هذه البنت إذا كان لها مثل هذا الأب الذي يمنعها من أن تتزوج من الرجل الصالح الذي على السنة ويريد منها مثلا أن تتزوج رجلا آخر من طريقته هو كالصوفيين مثلا هل لها من شيء تفعله حفظكم الله
هي عليها أن تسعى يعني لعدم عقوق والدها أولا عليها أن تسعى مثلا توصي بعض أقاربها ممن له مكان عند أبيها يكلمه في هذا الأمر وتحاول أن تداري والدها يعني تأتي حتى يرضى بالزواج إذا أبى الأب فإنه يرفع أمره إلى القاضي أو من ينوب عن القاضي يعني يكون في مقام القاضي يفصل بين هذا الرجل الذي يعني يكون مبتدعا لأن السلف قالوا من زوج ابنته مبتدع فقد قطع رحمها
نعم the Sheikh says if this situation takes place this sister she should try first of all to do her best that do not disobey her father And also she should try to talk to the relative of her father, if he has any, to go to those people who she thinks her father may listen to or take advice from and explain to them the situation that her father is not letting her get married to the brother who is on deen and stuff like that. And also she should have what we call Arabic mudara. She should be easy with him, like, you know, do not get tough, try to call him names or whatever. Just be polite and be, you know, use easy way with him. And he said if this is not changing him, then she should raise her mara situation to the qazi of the Muslim. Well, we don't have here these days, but he says now if people don't have qazi, maybe to someone who is like a qazi, like a judge for the Muslim. Maybe in this country we might say to the imam of the community or something like that. If you know that is the case that's going on, then maybe she may go to the imam and explain the situation. And maybe imam might try to do something, inshallah ta'ala.
Salah,
huh?
One of the salaf said that
whoever... Oh, also, I forgot, he mentioned the Athar from the Salaf al-Salih. They say, whosoever marry his daughter to a mubtadi, then he broke the womb or the ties, you know. If you marry your sister, your daughter to someone who is not on the deen or is mubtadi, then you broke the ties. فَقَدْ قَطَعَ رَحِمَةً The tie has been broken by doing that. So it's important that people try to marry the people who are on the same manhaj, inshallah ta'ala.
Sheikh, أنكم قلتم أنك يرفع الأمر إلى القاضي ونحن الآن في أمريكا ما عندنا يعني قضاج فهل يعني يرفع الأمر إلى الإمام المسجد أو ماذا؟
يعني مثل هذا يعني يكون إمام المسجد أو رجل يعني له هيبة عند أبيها لأنها يعني يعني يسمع كلامه ويطيعه في هذا نعم
ولكن أريد أن نستفسر شيئا حفظكم الله إذا رفع الأمر إلى الإمام وأبى الأب أن يغير موقفه هل يجوز للإمام أن يزوج هذه البنت إلى من تريد بدون إذن أبيها؟ لأن هذا يحدث عندنا كثيرا يا شيخنا. فالإمام هل له سلطة أن يتولى الأمر ويزوجها إلى هذا الرجل الذي يرى فيه خير دون إذن أبيها؟
إذا كان الأب يعني ساقط الولاية بحيث أنه يكون مبتدع بدعة كفرية، يعني عنده بدعة شركية، أو رجلا فاسقا لا يعرف معروف ولا ينكر منكر. نعم.
I was just asking the Sheikh because sometimes situation happens. If this is the situation with the father, but Imam when speak with him is not changing, he's saying, I don't want to hear that crap. You know, my daughter is not going to marry. Nobody goes to that masjid. You know, so those people there, I don't know. And then if this is the situation, he said, then if this father he has something like close to the kufr, like he's having bidah really strong, bidah clear, or something like a shirk, or he doesn't know what good from the evil, he just ignores, he doesn't know anything. So Imam might take over in that situation, but see, maybe a little fight, maybe. So, you know.
Now, the next question, inshallah ta'ala,
نعم. ويقوم بأمرها مثلا أخوها أو أقرب الناس، أما الأب لا يكون له ولاية عندئذ.
Now he mentioned another point that if this sister she has a brother who is Muslim or uncle who is Muslim, then those people should take over the father. Then this as a wali, if this father has his brother is Muslim on the dawah or her brother is on the dawah, then they should take over and marry her. Whoever she wants to marry, if they are on the deen, inshallah.
Now, this question says, explain the hadith of the Ta'ifatul Mansura and the time when there will be not one on the earth testifying to La ilaha illallah. And I think what the questioner means is, in the hadith of the Ta'ifatul Mansura, it mentioned that this group will be victorious hatta ta'ti as-sa'ah, till the hour comes. And then there's also another hadith that mentioned that the hour won't be established until there's nobody on the earth saying La ilaha illallah. So how do we bring the harmony between these two hadith?
السائل يسأل فيقول كيف نوافق بين الحديثين حديث الذي يذكر أن الطائفة المنصورة أن لا لن تقوم معنى حديث تكون الطائفة منصورة إلى قيام الساعة، وحديث آخر يقول لن تقوم الساعة حتى لا يوجد على الأرض من يقول لا إله إلا الله، فكيف نوافق بين هذين الحديثين حفظكم الله؟
نعم، الطائفة المنصورة تكون موجودة، لكن هذا الحديث الآخر وهو حديث أن لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا يقول أو لا يقول أحد في الأرض الله الله، أو في رواية لا يقول لا إله إلا الله، فهذا معناه حينما يقبض الله عز وجل الأنفس. فقد جاء في الحديث الآخر أن الله يرسل ريحا طيبة تأخذ روح كل مؤمن على وجه هذه البسيطة، ولا يبقى على الأرض إلا شرار الخلق، فتقوم عليهم الساعة حينئذ.
Now, Mr., there is no contradiction in these two hadith. Exactly, the Taif Mansura or the Taif group will not be existing till the last day, till the end of this life. And also, this hadith says that the last day will never be established. See, nobody will not be found on the earth. Say Allah, Allah, say La ilaha illallah. Says just before the last, just before the time of maybe blowing the thing, or the time of the earth and the hour to be established, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will send the riyash, the wind to take away those people who have believed, those people who are on the safe sex, take them away. Then after that, the hour going to be established. So it's only just maybe a little few times before that. It's not, you know, Allah sends this wind to take them away, and then those who are going to stay there, they cannot say Allah or nothing, then they are going to be established on those people.
Now, the next question, inshallah ta'ala, says, if a child is born inside of wedlock, it says of the halal, that means that both parents are Muslim and this child is born, does the child still have to take shahada or is it automatic?
السائل يسأل فيقول إذا كان
married.
إذا كان الرجل تزوج من امرأة لكن قبل زواجهما وجد بينهما ولد بالزنا قبل الزواج.
لا 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 زنا يكون born from the halal. يعني
you saying something like wedlock or something?
Wedlock, من الزواج
هي. Okay. After the wedlock, also wedlock, whatever. Is the السائل يسأل فيقول إذا. Well, this question is over asked. If some people, the children was that why I was confused.
لا ما الآن يقول. طيب يا شيخ يقول إذا ولد ولدا ل أو إذا ولد الولد لشخصان أو لشخصين متزوجين، هل لابد لهذا الطفل ينطق الشهادة أم الشهادة يعني الولد يعني مسلم دون الشهادة؟
الولد يتبع أبويه.
نعم، this was a question already asked and they answered that the same similar that whoever is born in Islam.
لحظة. ولم يقل في الحديث أو يمسلمان. فإذا كانوا أبويه مسلمين هذا لا يحتاج أن ينطق الشهادة. لكن بخلاف ذلك إذا كان الأبوان يعني إذا كان الأبوان إما مجوسيين أو نصرانيين أو كذا فإذا أسلم الابن كذلك ينطق الشهادة معه. نعم.
If the parents are Muslims, the baby don't have to take shahada because you know the parents are already Muslims. But in case if the people are not Muslims and the time passed by they want to accept Islam with their children, and this time everybody in the family has to take shahad. If there were like Majusi or not Muslims at all, now they want to take shahad. Maybe this even they are grown people now, or they you know then they might take shahada with their parents. But if the parents are Muslims, the children don't have to take shahada because they are already Muslims.
Now, the next question is: are there virtues in visiting the kuffar in their times of calamity? Like if they become sick or hurt, is there like the same virtue that you would get in visiting a Muslim?
هل هناك أي فضل وارد وورد في زيارة الكفار أو غير المسلمين إذا بلغ المسلمين أن الكفار في يعني مرضى أو وقع عليهم حادثة أو شيء من ذلك؟ هل يجوز لنا أن نزورهم أن نعودهم في المستشفيات أو في بيوتهم يعني حال مرضهم؟
هذا فيه تفصيل. إذا كان يريد دعوتهم ويريد يعني إدخالهم في الإسلام فإنه يزورهم من هذا الباب، أو إذا كان مثلا هذا الرجل جار له فإنه يعني يزورهم من حق الجيرة، وكذلك أيضا رغبة في دخوله في الإسلام، كما حصل أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لما مرض الغلام اليهودي وهو غلام صغير طفل لجار له يهودي مرض ابنه، فذهب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وعاد هذا الغلام الصغير وهو في حال المرض، والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لما رآه بشدة المرض قال له: قل يا بني لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، أشفع لك بي عند الله. فنظر الغلام إلى أبيه إلى والد اليهودي فقال له اليهودي: أطع أبا القاسم. فنطقها فأنقذه الله عز وجل بدعوة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام له، مع كونه غلام صغير، يعني ما في نظر الناس اليوم غلام صغير ما الذي ينفع الإسلام أو كذا، هذه نظرة قاصرة. يعني ينبغي دعوة الناس واستئلافهم وحثهم للدخول في الإسلام، فمن هذا الباب. أما أن يشاركهم في أعيادهم ويذهب لهم في أماكنهم مجرد صداقة ومجرد علاقات هكذا من غير دعوتهم للإسلام، فهذا خطير جدا ولا يجوز للمسلم فعله.
The Sheikh said there's some details in this question. Says if you wanna visit those non-Muslims in order to call them to Islam, so that is okay. If you like to go see them in their hostel or in their homes in order to call them to Islam, that's fine. Or if one of them is your neighbor, happen for him to get sick, then you wanna go see him as your neighbor, that is fine because he has right over you as a neighbor. As you also mentioned the hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when you know he had a neighbor from a Jew and he had a son, this son became sick. And the Messenger went to pay them a visit, and the same time his neighbor was to call him to Islam. As he was standing there, he told this boy, you know, but accept Islam. Say la ilaha illallah and say Muhammad the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this boy looked at his father, like, you know, it's okay if I say that. And his father told him, and obey Abu al-Qasim, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And that boy, before he died, he accepted Islam, and this was like, you know, he saved him from, you know, dying as like a kafir. So, but he says, if it's just to visit them because they are your friends, like some people they have now Muslim friends, this is not from this thing, just or to go there and their thing, their activities, their, you know, their days, their holidays, that is not from Islam to just do because you like them or they are your friends. You have to do this under this line the Sheikh mentioned, you call them to Islam, or maybe it's your neighbor, or still the same thing, even if you're your neighbor, you take a chance to call him to Islam. But to just to go them to to their holiday job, or because they are your friends or relationships. He says this is not permissible in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The next question, inshallah ta'ala, since there's no more questions that we have here pertaining to the topic exactly, then we have the question about a person who has money that is haram from before Islam. Is it permissible to use that money after he accepts Islam? Like, for example, a person who may have sold drugs or, you know, something like this before Islam, is it permissible for him to use that money after Islam?
السائل يسأل فيقول إذا كان لشخص أموال قبل إسلامه وكسب هذه الأموال من طريقة محرمة كالذي يبيع المخدرات مثلا ودخل في الإسلام بعد ذلك وله هذه أموال هائلة هل يجوز له أن يستعمل هذه الأموال بعد إسلامه علما بأنه كسبه قبل الإسلام ومن طريق محرمة حفظكم الله
هذا يعني أيضا كذلك العلماء مختلفون في هذا فمنهم من يرى أنه إذا أسلم وعنده أموال محرمة فعليه أن يتوب كالقول في المال الذي لديه سابقا هل ينتفع به أو يدعه العلماء على خلاف منهم من يرى أنه يعني يبقى هذا المال عنده لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لما أسلم كثير من الناس في عهده عليه الصلاة والسلام وكان بعضهم له تجارة يخلطها كثير من الربا ومن الحرام فلم يأمره بترك ذلك المال كله نعم
هذا شخص this issue this the ulama differ on this issue of someone who accepts Islam and has some haram money before Islam Say so the ulama they say first we have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they differ can he use the money or not. So some of them they say he might use his money and they use they say and a lot of accept Islam when the day of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam and before Islam they used to be business people and they used to make their money with riba, things like that, and the Messenger never asked them to give up their money. And some of the ulama they differ by saying no, he cannot use this money. So the Shaykh just put that way.
هذا إذا كان المال كله محرم أما إذا كان المال يعني والقول الثاني للعلماء أنه عليه أن يدع ذلك المال وأن يتوب إلى الله ويتحرر منه لأن الإسلام حينما يسلم الإنسان يدع تلك الجاهلية ويدع الأمور التي يعني وقع فيها أيام جاهليته من أكل الحرام أو مما ترتب عليه كذلك وأيضا إذا كان ماله مختلطا لا يدري يعني فيه شيء حرام وشيء حلال فإنه يأخذ ما يظن أنه هو الذي كسبه بالحلال وأما المحرم فإنه يدعه يتصدق به أو يصرفه يعني لا يحرزه إلى مكانه
The شخص this اختلاف is only when the whole money he has is from haram. Like what he used to do in Jahiliyyah is robbing people or sell this and that from haram. If all the money he has is from haram, this time they differ that. Some ulama say he cannot take anything because after you accept Islam, you need to leave alone Jahiliyyah. Anything has something to do with Jahiliyyah, leave it alone. So the money you had in Jahiliyyah, leave it alone and just come to Islam clean and start all over again. But it's as if you used to do some haram and some halal. And you know, choose from the money that you have, which one you think is from halal where. And then keep that with you, and then you know you that and the rest of the money you leave you know with Jahiliyyah. So and you know some and everybody who makes you got some money that makes, then you pick up what you think is halal. You know people may pick whole thing that everything is from halal. They might you know, take you know a lot of money and say this you know was like you know Allah. And just you know he says there's a khilaf on this issue. So you know try to see which one is from halal and take that from haram. Leave it alone.
Now, this next one says, can you explain about the hadith in which the angels who record the sins or the angels that record the sins in the time which a person has to repent? I guess he means before these sins are recorded.
السائل يسأل فيقول
لحظة اسمح لي عندي تتمة لل
فضل سامحنا نعم
أول التتمة وهي أن القول الثاني هو أقرب للصواب أن وقعوا في الربا أمرهم بأن يأخذوا ما كان لهم من رؤوس أموالهم فقال تعالى في شأن الربا فإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم
Now the Sheikh says in
the
to complete the question that was asked about someone who has some haram money, the strong position to him is that you leave the money that wasn't from halal way. When you come to Islam, leave that money alone, come to Islam clean. And he said there's ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to those people who they used to have riba in Jahiliyyah. Their money was from riba. And he told them in the Quran, if you repent to Allah, means accept Islam, then you're going to have only to take the money that's not from riba. Everything added from riba, leave that alone and just come with the money that was your money. So this ayah, he said, this is in a strong position that if you accept Islam, you have some haram money, do not take anything except something that was from halal. And according to this ayah, people who accept Islam, and Allah asked them to leave, to give up the riba, just take their own money that is not from riba.
And the second question we already asked about the hadith in which the angels will record the sins and the time between the time that those sins are actually recorded, time for the person to repent.
كان السائل يسأل فيقول ما المدة المتروكة يعني هناك الملكان يكتبان أعمال العباد يعني الذي يكتب الصالح والذي يكتب الذنوب ما المدة المسموحة للعبد قبل كتابة الملائكة للذنوب يعني المدة المسموحة بينه وبين التوبة هل هناك مدة معينة إذا لم يتب إلى تلك المدة يكتبون تلك الذنوب
وكأنه سمع حديثا وهو أنه يعني يترك ست ساعات فهل هناك حديث كذلك
أولا ينبغي عدم السؤال في هذه الدقائق إلا إذا ورد الدليل فيها فهنا لم يرد دليل صريح في هذا الشيء إنما الأصل أن المسلم يعني يوجد عنده الكرام الكاتبين اللذان يسجلان عليه كل ما يفعله فهذا الأمر لا يمنعه من التوبة متى ما تاب بدلت سيئات وحسنات الذي يمنع من التوبة كليا هو كما جاء علامات الساعة الكبرى طلوع الشمس من مغربها وهذه العلامات التي جاءت في الحديث أما المدة بأنه قبل أن يكتب هناك مدة زمنية 6 ساعات أو 5 ساعات هذا لم يثبت فيه شيء أبدا
The Sheikh says, first of all, people should really stop asking this kind of question that, you know, such people don't even benefit. You know, trying to have some time to know we're going to repent and commit some sins and have 7 hours so you can rush repent before the last minute. People should stop to ask this kind of question because there's no dalil mention any limit time that someone has. But what we know that repentance might be accepted before the sun rises from the west, from the east.
Or any of those big signs. Yeah.
No. So, any time before you die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, we accept your repentance. But those kind of questions, there's no dalil specify that, you know, this is the limit time that someone has before. And if he doesn't repent between this time, then they go ahead and write down and there's no repentance after that. So there's no dalil mention that. And the advice from the Shaykh is this kind of questions, daqayiq al-sa'al as'ila, people should leave these questions alone.
These next questions, inshallah ta'ala, all of them deal with the marriages. It's common from the sisters. It says, for example, if your husband takes on a second wife and he doesn't have a house for this second wife at that time, so he's not able to spend those first 3 days that he's supposed to spend with her, he's not able to spend them. So after a couple of days or after a week or so, he finds her a place to stay in, the second wife. And she wants to know, is it legislated that the first wife can't get her proper days because he's making up for those 3 days with the second wife?
السائلة تسأل فتقول الرجل مثلا تزوج بامرأة ثانية وحينما تزوجها لم يكن له بيت للمرأة الثانية التي تزوجها ومن أجل ذلك ما أمكنه أن يعطيها 3 أيام أو 7 أيام إن كانت بكرا يعني ما أمكنه أن يكون معها بعد الزواج منها لعدم وجود المكان فكان مع زوجته الأولى وبعد الأسبوع مثلا وجد مكانا وأخذها إلى المكان الذي وجد لها فتقول هل يجوز له أن يأخذ من أيامها زوجة الأولى من أيامها ويعطيها أو يعوض الأيام التي لم ينم مع زوجته الثانية بعدما وجد البيت أن يعوض تلك الأيام أو يبدأ من جديد ويواصل فقط دون تعويض حفظكم الله
هو عليه
الصيف عليه ماذا
عليه أن يعوضها عليه يعوضها لأن هذه الأيام من حقها هي فإذا حصل عارض ولم يستطع أن يقيم عندها وقام عند الزوجة الأولى فإن عليه أن يأخذ الأيام تلك ويعيدها للأولى، يعوضها تلك الأيام التي لم يستطع أن يجلس معها بقدر هذه الأيام.